You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
We know that displacing people generally takes a very short amount of time, but finding solutions enabling them to go home can take years. And the fear is that these situations can become protracted, international interest dissipates, people still living in limbo, and the difficulty of finding solutions.
This is at Brookings, a weekly, in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, from the Middle East to Japan, a humanitarian crisis.
Humanitarian and refugee crises are erupting across the globe. Libya is a simmering pot of humanitarian need. The Congo, Japan, Syria, Somalia, and many other countries need international assistance to provide basic necessities for teeming populations suffering from war, political unrest, and natural disasters. But rendering humanitarian aid can be complicated and even dangerous, as Senior Fellow Elizabeth Ferris explains.
There are a lot of international organizations that are trying to help. There's the International Committee of the Red Cross, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, International Organization for Migration, UNICEF, WHO, a whole bunch of organizations that are ready to offer assistance. But in the case of Libya, getting access to those areas is almost impossible. The UN or international organizations were able to send in a mission in mid-April. But that was the first and the only mission to assess the needs, and it was quite limited in scope. You know, to travel in these countries, you need the permission of the government. And so far, the Gaddafi regime hasn't given guarantees that international humanitarian staff will be protected. And so their ability to operate inside Syria and inside Libya is very limited.
What about repatriation? This can be especially troubling.
There have been large-scale aid operations that have been set up. But those are limited in terms of what are the eventual solutions for people. You know, where will they go? Who will take them back home? International Organization of Migration has moved some hundreds of thousands of people out of the region. But some people can't go back to their homes. If you're a Somali who's been working in Libya, the chances of going back to Somalia aren't too attractive. And who else will take you? European governments certainly don't want this mass influx of people fleeing Libya to arrive on their shores. About 15,000 have arrived so far in Italy, and it's caused quite a political reaction. And certainly European governments are, you know, talking about taking very drastic measures to limit the possibility of people seeking asylum or refuge on their shores. In some ways, it's similar to what happened in Central America in the 1980s, where civil wars and violence led many Central Americans to make the journey or attempt to make the journey to the U.S. And therefore, you know, responding to potential migratory flows was a key element of U.S. foreign policy, just as it is today in Europe with respect to North Africa.
Millions of dollars are poured into some countries after a crisis, and that money never reaches the people for whom it's intended.
International humanitarian assistance is an economic commodity, and during war it can be used to support one side or the other. We've seen many cases where humanitarian assistance has been directed for political ends, to favor one group, to deny it to a particular group, whether on sectarian or ethnic grounds or for political reasons and so on. So it can be detrimental. It can also be detrimental in that when a government doesn't have to ensure that the needs of its population are met, and when the foreign assistance comes in, it can, if you will, use those funds for other reasons. So the government of Sudan doesn't have to spend as much on the 2 million displaced people in Darfur because the international community is doing that, and therefore can use those funds for other purposes, which may or may not be benign.
It seems that there are different challenges presented by different situations. A natural disaster versus a war, let's say, or trying to administer aid in a developed country, such as Japan, versus an undeveloped country.
It's a very different situation. In natural disasters, it's usually much less political. Governments are usually more than willing to have humanitarian actors provide assistance to them and to their people. It's a very different situation. Japan is a little bit unique in that it's a developed country, although some 150 governments and organizations offered aid to Japan. Japan has a lot of capacity and was very careful about which organizations and governments to allow in to assist with its population. Because, you know, in these situations, it takes a lot of effort to receive foreign delegations and NGOs and even UN agencies. Situation in Libya is almost the opposite, where the government doesn't want the internationals in, where the government sees the humanitarian organizations as part and parcel of a Western foreign policy military agenda. It's more difficult for humanitarian organizations to maintain their neutrality in situations where the governments that are supporting them are also flying NATO air raids at night.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.